said. Have a little prayer and read scriptures here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for everyone here and those that are on the way, dear Heavenly Jesus. Ask, dear Lord God, as you bless our pastor, as he brings the word. You know what all of us need, dear Lord. You put it in his heart to just bring whatever that is today. Thank you for giving us another day where we can be in your house to praise you and thank you. Pray that you'll bless everyone. Pray that everyone is feeling well. We just ask now, dear Lord Jesus, that you'll just lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms 15. On the heading of my Bible, it says, "Who shall abide?" Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you again for your word this morning. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil with his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that puffeth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Lord, help us to just fit right in there. Thank you, dear Heavenly Jesus, for your word this morning.
I'm
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You, Lord, in the beauty of hope, I worship you, Lord, and I give you praise. Oh, I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of hope. Lord, I give you praise. Oh, for it's you that I can praise. Oh, I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. I worship you. I give praise. Oh, I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Lord, I give praise, for it's you that I. It's you that I embrace. I adore you, Father. I appreciate your love. Oh, I embrace your presence. I embrace your spirit. I embrace your holy name. For it's you that I embrace. Oh, I adore. Father, I appreciate your love. Oh, I embrace your presence. I embrace your spirit. I embrace your holy name. For it's you that I embrace. Oh, it's you that I embrace. For it's you that I embrace him this morning. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you, alone. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you alone. Oh, you are worthy to be praised. Once more. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you alone. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you alone. Oh, you are worthy to be praised. We give you all alone. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you alone. Oh, you are worthy to be praise. We give you all the glory. We worship you alone. Oh, you are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you alone. Oh, you are so worthy to be praised. Oh, we give you all the glory. We worship you alone. You are worthy to be. My God, he's so worthy. Thank you, Jesus. My. Thank you, Jesus. So much you do for us. Every day, every time. Worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy to be praised. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. So thankful. So thankful. My God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We have a few specials this morning. Pray that it will be a blessing to you. Start off with Sister Rolande.
God bless you. Kind of nervous. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He promised to help me. He ever loves me, and He cares for His own. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He promised to help me. He ever loves me, and He cares for His own. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He ever loves me. Burden to share. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus will help me. I know He will. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear burdens alone. That's why I must tell Jesus. Jesus will help me. Jesus alone. Jesus will help me. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear all these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, Jesus alone. Jesus, I
Thank you, Sister Rolanda. Like that version of that song. I cannot bear. That's a fact. Gotta have them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Appreciate that. The young sisters. Thank you. Glory. Thank you, my God, young sisters, because He's God. Mercy. Thank you, thank you. Oh, my God. Amen. It's all right. Thank you, Jesus.
My God.
That was wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, my God. We have one more special today. Sister Michelle.
The task ahead seems bigger than you. That's when He steps in. When you know in your heart that's God's command, takes more than can be done by man. That's when He steps in. When He sees you at the point of your need, when He sees you at the point of crossing your Red Sea, and in the moment you call, when you of where you are, that's where He stepped in. A little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's where God stepped in. Thank you.
your need. Thank you, Jesus. Just trust in Him. Trust in Him, folks. Thank you, Lord God. For more than supply your needs. Lord. Thank you, Lord. My. Praise be His wonderful name. You may be seated as get ready for the offering, please.
Thank you, Lord, for just meeting us here today. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord, sometimes that we don't even see. Thank you, Lord, for every person that comes to this door, Lord, that you gave, I believe, to me, to Heavenly Father, to just lift me up, the sisters and the brothers and the children and all the sons that are chosen to keep us, Lord, and to carry us through the day and through the weeks when we are not together. That these songs just come back and they just minister to us. Lord, even when we are in the midst of evil people and evil thoughts, Lord, thank you, Lord, for each and every one, Heavenly Father, that sitting here, Lord, and participate in this program, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a messenger that you have sent, Lord, Heavenly Father, to Heavenly Father prepare us for these end times, Lord. We thank you for a pastor, Lord, that you have raised up in my house and in my midst, Lord, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, that you are ministering to guide us and to lead us, Lord. We just want to thank you. Heavenly Father, we just want to give back, Heavenly Father. You do your will to give a portion, Heavenly Father, that even if you don't open up the windows, Lord, and you said you would, that we still are blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Your grace abound to me. Thank you.
To be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I was just listening to all the specials, and I thank God for each one of them, Sister Rolande, and the young sisters, I believe, as well as Sister Michelle. Thank you all so much for just yielding your talents to the Lord on today. Amen. Just got a couple announcements. Actually, I'll let you be seated for a little bit while we just kind of go through these announcements. I want to thank the Lord also for his wisdom and his leading us in worship. Amen. This morning, just appreciate it. See, Brother Daniel and Sister Evelyn, so good to see you all today. God bless you. Happy New Year to you. Amen. This is my little niece. Amen. So good to have her in church today. Amen. Mom, God bless you. Praise the Lord. So good to see her. We got just a couple announcements we want to make mention of. This Friday night, we'll have a youth service. Amen. This Friday night, so keep that in mind. We'll be here at 7:30 for that. And also on Wednesday night service, don't forget that as well. We ask that you would keep Mother Tillman in prayer. Amen. I believe it was Friday that Mother Tillman lost her brother, her younger brother. He was 80 years old and been sick for the past few months, and the Lord has called him home. And one thing, and when I talked to her Friday night, she said, well, my brother told me that if God didn't raise me up and he called me home, I just want you to know I'm ready to go. Amen. And so what a testimony. We know that the Lord promises us 70 and 10, amen, which is 70 years. That's all God actually promises us. So when we get above that, then it's the grace of God, and we have to thank God for that. But God has called him home, and just keep that family in prayer. Sister Brown is away, amen. I believe she'll be returning back today. She has a brother that's pretty ill up in the Maryland area, and you know, their family just really been attacked. And you know, sometimes we look at our trials and we think we're going through a lot, but it's other folks. Sometimes you just sit down and just talk to people, you'll find that there's other people going through a lot more than what you're going through. Amen. And sometimes when you talk, you can't get discouraged. You know what, as a pastor, I can't get discouraged. I can't. Even if I try, I get a telephone call and somebody starts telling me about their issues, and I got to find a way to encourage. Right? Have you ever thought about that? A pastor cannot get discouraged. Can't be. Because if you ever call me, yeah, that's right, it's bad. Oh, it's going to get worse too. It's going to get worse than that. Oh, my. You will never call me again. See? But when you don't worry about it. God going to pull you through. He did it before. He'll do it again.
me. Amen. You ain't got but one scripture to stand on. Stand on one scripture. You know, but I mean, that's what you want to hear. Give me something, Nino. Don't discourage me. I'm already discouraged. I need to be uplifted, you know. Praise God. Amen. But uplifting don't always come from the pastor. Sometimes, amen, it comes from other brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes you can't reach nobody. So you got to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. You have to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. I wouldn't say that if I didn't do that. And I'm, the way I encourage myself, I find myself a song. And I just begin to sing that song. I hum that song. I do whatever. I find a scripture and I just stay with that one scripture. And amen. I put atmosphere, you know, around my house. I get the tapes playing, or, you know, in my car. I keep God all the time, you know. And that's the way I work myself through whatever I'm going through. Because, you know, the thing of it, the fact of the matter is that all of us are going to have a test and a trial. Every last one of us in here. Until we leave here, we're going to be fighting the devil. So we might as well just put up our dukes and keep on fighting. Amen. So pray for mother. Pray for the family. You know, they're suffered a loss. And so many that they are, that's in their family has been sick. So just keep them in prayer. Keep them in mind. On Saturday night, there is a youth event at Brother Wesco's. Brother Joe Underwood and his church will be coming down. Total Life Commitment. They'll be putting on, a little concert or and maybe a little presentation. I'm not sure, but they'll just be coming down on Saturday night at 7 p.m. And they'll be going to Brother Wesco's church. So keep that in mind. Amen. For Saturday night, for the young people. Next Sunday, we'll be doing a potluck dinner. So after service, we'll be, everybody's bringing all their food, and we're going to sit down and eat and fellowship together. Amen. So not just don't bring one pot, but all the pots that you keep at the house that you're going to eat from, bring them all next week. And let us all eat from it, you know. And if you don't have nothing to bring yourself. Amen. We'll enjoy your company and enjoy the fellowship. I already know that the devil's a liar. And I know that this church, we don't talk about people that don't have to bring. I already know that. That don't happen here. Now, down the street, I can't promise you that. But here, that don't happen. Ain't nobody nobody got nothing to say. Well, I just didn't have it. That's fine. I think everybody in here has been in a spot where the last thing you had was some beans. Right? How many of y'all done ate cereal for dinner? Seriously? I ain't no witnesses. I'm a witness. Cereal for dinner. Dinner. Not steak. Cereal. Oh, praise the Lord. I guess ain't nobody been there. I have been there. So, you know, when you can identify with where people are, then you don't criticize anybody. You just pray for them. Amen. And you pray silently. You ain't got to pray all out loud either. Come on now, somebody. But this is the love of God that should be shown in the church of God. And we want everybody to come and just participate in that. So next Sunday, we have our church potluck dinner. And we'll be looking forward to that. Typically what I do is the last Friday of January, we do a business meeting here for the church just to kind of go over, amen, just all the things here, the financial our financial position, and, you know, just other things, just kind of try to cast a vision for the church. But we won't do it on the last Friday. I'm going to actually have to make it the last Wednesday, amen, of the month, the last Wednesday of the month, which would be the 30th, January 30th. And I want everybody to put that on the calendar, because if you are a member of the church, I'm going to ask that you go out your way to make sure that you're part of that particular service. I don't want just a few people to come. I like to try to share. If everybody catch the vision as to what we're trying to do, then, you know, it's much easier if we all just put our shoulders together, you know, to the wheel. But everybody, the last Wednesday of this month, January 30th, I'm trying to let everybody know well ahead of time, January 30th is when we want to do our annual business meeting. So keep that in mind. It'll be the last Wednesday of the month. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have an invitation here. God has led two lives to take one path. Gerlene Fenilus and Pericles Simeon, together with their families, invite you to witness their vows on Saturday, February 9th, 2013 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This will be at House of Fellowship, which is the church in Sarasota, Mayaca City. They are having a wedding there. And this is Mother Damas's daughter, right? And Pericles is a young man that we prayed for a little bit ago. We prayed that God would release him from Haiti to be able to come here. And God brought him here. And he's joining his fiance. And they're going to get married. And so Mother Damas is asking that we would just, amen, be a part of that. So we thank God for that. We have the invitation. We'll put it on the board. And if we are going, we have to respond, amen, by January 30th, that Wednesday night. So we need to let everybody know so that they can make sure that the food preparations are appropriate for the crowd. So we thank God for this union. And certainly we want everyone that can go to try to go to be supportive. Amen. That. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Brother, if you just give that to my wife, because I'm getting displaced. Thank you. Amen. So praise the Lord. We just appreciate God. Amen. Appreciate all that He's doing here in our midst. Thank you so much, musicians. I'll leave you at this time. God bless you. Appreciate your service of today. Amen. So I started down a little path there last week, and I want to just kind of keep going a little bit more. We'll read the scripture about you know, where we were coming from, and I trust that God would just kind of help us. Amen. We came on Friday night, and we were watching the 20th Century Prophet and Deep Caller to the Deep, and just had an opportunity just to really look at you know, how the Lord used Brother Branham's ministry. And, you know, just churches, as I said Friday night, we have something very special. Even when we look at the Word of God, we see things in the Scripture that others can't see because we're looking through prophetic insight. See, when we're looking at Scripture, God sent a prophet to reveal the Bible to us, because many have the Bible but have no idea what it means. There are people going to church every day. Every day they're Christians, and it's a sad thing to say this about Christians, because they're going to church and there's certain parts of the Bible they're afraid to read, right? You say Revelation, oh no, ooh, my, no, just back up from it completely, and been Christians for a long time. But now you look at somebody that's following Muhammad, you know, and they got the Quran or something like that. These people are not afraid of what they got. You know, I mean, some of these other religions, not afraid of anything they got. But here, us as Christians, we can't embrace all the word because we don't have understanding of it. But God has given us, amen, understanding through prophetic eyes. And that just makes, that's what makes this so special. So, you know, now the word has been completely revealed. Amen. We don't have to be afraid of anything. We can talk about what has been. We can talk about what's going on right now, and we can also talk about what will be. Amen, because we have the full revelation of the Word of God. So if you just stand with me, I'm just going to read one scripture, and then I'm going to read a few quotes and just kind of keep going down this path that we were in last week, and just trust that God would just kind of continue to help us out there. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Amen, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm starting to read from verse 6. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I forgot to also mention, last Sunday, about 10:15 in the morning, the church right down the way, they had an incident right down the street from us where this man walked into the church, went straight to the pastor's office with a big pole, metal pole or something like that, and just began to beat the pastor. He was trying to rob the pastor. And I think he did get the watch, and he got the necklace, and he got something else. And, you know, and they took off, but they happened to have an undercover cop there in the church, and they saw, you know, the guy kind of running. So they caught the car and arrested the guy, which was good. But church, we have to be a little bit more cautious about what's going on around us. And I'm certainly going to be asking that our brothers really take it to the next level. Amen. Every service means something, and we got to have protection here for all the saints. And I think sometimes when you got more brothers around, people are a little less likely to try things. But when you got just a bunch of sisters around, they'll do anything. See? So, I mean, these devils don't care. They'll try anything at any time, and we all got to take it as our personal responsibility to make sure that we keep the house of God safe. Amen. It's a personal responsibility. So we got how many services a week? We got Wednesday night. We got Friday night. We got Sunday morning. We also got Sunday morning prayer that we're here for services. So let's look to see how many services we can try to attend. Amen. I know we can at least do half. If it's four, I can at least get two, right? Amen. I can at least give God half my time. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I'm going to give good God full time. They come in all four services. Some people are going to do it. I'm going to be a full-time Christian. The church door is going to be open. I'm going to be there. Right? Amen. Like, your boss ain't got to say this. Your boss ain't got to say this. Your boss don't have to get up there. Can I expect to have you on tomorrow? The boss ain't saying that at all. He know you're going to be there. Right? I mean, and if you ain't there, you better be calling in. You better be doing something, right? The boss don't have to do that. Otherwise, he'll just get somebody else. Why God got to fight with us? Come on, y'all. Come on. We got to step it up. It's the beginning of the year. It's time to set some new goals and objectives. Say, I can do better than what I did last year for the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I buy one. How much money I got? Well, I buy an amen this morning. All right, let's go. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we ask, oh God, that you would just bring revelation to us. As we just keep moving with this little thought, Lord, those that love his appearing, as we were just trying to work with it on last week, and God, we just ask that you just take us forward to help us to really catch and understand what you're doing in our day. We can't go back to the days of Moses. We can't go back to the days of Noah. We can't go back to the days when Jesus walked the earth. We can't even go back to the days, Lord, or your prophet being here. But what are you doing right now? And we ask that you'd help us, Lord, to catch this thought and to catch what you're doing, to stay in that channel, stay in that vein, that you, God, would just begin to pour out your blessings upon us in our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I was... I use last week, I was just, we were talking on the topic, those that love his appearing, those that love his appearing. And what we are trying to bring to everybody's attention is that you got to catch the way that he is appearing. If you're going to love his appearing, you actually have to catch the way that he's appearing. All the believers that have gone on, I mean, before us, amen. And I want to let you know now, we're living in a time that everybody is not going to die. Some of us are going to catch a rapture. All right. We're living in that time. And at any day, you know, we're living in the rapture right now. And at any day, we could be caught up to meet those that have gone on to be with the Lord. We can be caught up to meet them in the air. Any day that could happen. That's a scripture that is waiting to be fulfilled. And you're living in a time where that scripture can be fulfilled right before your presence. I would hope that you wouldn't be the one that would call home one day and you couldn't get mama to answer, and you couldn't get daddy to answer, and you couldn't get nobody to answer, and you wonder what done happened. Well, I can tell you, if that happens to you, amen, think rapture first. All right? And my prayer is that you won't get caught like that. My prayer is that you would love his appearing so that you'd be ready for that great moment. That's my prayer. My whole job of coming here to try to preach the gospel is to try to get people ready to meet God. What we're this life that we're living right now, amen, this is just part of the story, but this is not the whole story. Amen. There's a new heaven, a new earth that awaits us, and I'm looking forward to it, church. I mean, I can't wait to go there. This is not heaven to me, you know. Amen. If this is heaven, some people believe it's heaven, but this is not heaven to me. The stuff that I'm going through, this cannot be heaven. It can't be heaven. So I'm living to live again. I'm doing things in my life so I can be ready. So if the Lord calls me, amen, through death, I'm ready. Amen. But if the Lord don't call me but he called me through a rapture, I also want to be ready. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, I mean, here we're looking at the scripture, those that love his appearing. And, you know, I want to just kind of I read this last week. Don't worry about bringing this up. I'll read it real quick and I'll go on. You can the first quote you can line up for me is gifts and callings are without repentance. Brother Branham made this comment in the message, Perseverance. He says, now, when that angel of the Lord came to Abraham there in the time before the destruction, now that was God appearing in human flesh. That was God appearing in human flesh. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, he gave the morals of what they were doing in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot. Watch the messenger to Abraham. Watch the messengers to Lot and the nominal church. Just come out. And Abraham pleading for them. Notice the angel, God, Elohim, appearing in a form of human flesh shows that Elohim in the last days will appear. I like this. Not the coming of Christ, but the appearing of Christ in human flesh, in his church, making his same signs and things that he did and hasn't done it in the church for 2,000 years. See, the appearing of the Lord. So now what Brother Branham said, just the same way that God appeared in the days of Abraham, he would do the same thing in this day. Just before the coming of the Lord, we would see the appearing. An appearance, like I was trying to tell you, anytime anybody make an appearance, it's just a quick show. They dash in, they dash out. They not the main event at that time, but they just kind of, I mean, and a lot of times artists, maybe a young artist that's trying to get known, they'll try to get maybe an older artist that's been out there for a little bit longer just to appear. Now, it's not their concert, but if I could just have you appear. They used to do this to my auntie, you know. Amen. Sister Lewis, if you could just appear, you don't have to sing all the songs, but if you could just appear, right, we'll get more people to come to the concert. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I mean, even Brother Branham went through a thing where, you know, these brothers wanted him just to appear at certain meetings. If we can just put your name, and people do it today, I might as well say it. If we just put your name at the bottom of the program to show that you may show up, other people are going to show up because they know God is using you. It's the same thing. So if we can just, the main event today, I have to be honest with you, the main event, amen, is not Brother Branham. The main event is the bride of Jesus Christ. But if we can just get the Lord Jesus sometime to appear. Brother, if he just appear, we get a lot more people to show up to church. If he just show up sometime, other people will come because we know what Jesus can do. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. See, but we got to love his appearing. And there's people that'll buy them tickets. They'll do everything they can because I got to be there when this person appears. They might only sing one song, but that's okay. I'm satisfied because of the appearance. If Jesus came and just worked one miracle, I'm satisfied because of the appearance. Even on the tour, they found out they was going to another city. They'd be right in their cars, following right behind them because of the appearance. See, I mean, it's something about the appearance, church. And that's what we want. We want to try to make sure that we catch. The Bible says those that love his appearance. If we love his appearance, we'll be faithful to church. Amen. Amen. We'll be faithful in serving the Lord if we love his appearance. Let's catch this in gifts and callings without repentance. And Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read this. It says, after a while, I met up with the full gospel people just before then. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then looked like it just kept coming more and more. And then he appeared on the river. He, capital H, that means the Lord Jesus, he appeared on the river one time when I was baptizing before probably 10,000 people. Now, this was in the Ohio River, I believe, there in Indiana. Brother Brandon was baptizing, and then while he was baptizing, the 17th person, here come the angel of the Lord, you know, and begin to tell him, say, ask John the Baptist, forerun my first coming, your message. In one place it says your message. Also it says you will forerun my second coming. Your ministry is what's going to forerun my second coming. So as he's you know, telling him this, there were people that kind of, you know, they saw, you know, great things happening there. I mean, how the Spirit of God just moved people. You know, some people just heard, you know, God speaking, you know, or saw a light there. You know, they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. They saw the light of what was going on there and said, man, this is a mighty move of the Spirit of God. And it was just, I mean, he was doing nothing more than anybody else do, just baptizing. See, I'm just, how many other pastors out there just baptizing? This is what we've been called to do, just baptizing. But while he's baptizing, God decides to show up or to appear. Now, I think there's purpose for his appearing, trying to let us know, look, what I am saying through this vessel, I need you to listen to. Amen. I need you to clearly listen to what's coming forth from this vessel. That's why I'm appearing to and through him. Amen. See? And it's fulfilling scripture every time this appearing takes place. Look, I want to keep going. It says, he appeared on the river one time when I was baptizing before probably 10,000 people, like a great morning star came down where I was standing. Thousands seen it. He went right back into the heavens. I was preaching once, and while I was preaching, it came into the room like physical. Amen. He does many times. Here, a few weeks ago in Houston, Texas, he came down, and a photographer, which was present at the time, caught the picture of it. Huh? He came down, capital H. Who is this he that came down? Anytime we see that, even in the scripture, you see capital letters, it's always talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, amen. He came down, and when he came down, they actually caught a picture of it. He came down, and the photographer, which was present at that time, caught the picture of it, went through all kinds of examinations by some of the best men in the United States to prove scientifically that the supernatural being was God. If we can just pull up that picture really quick, I would love to just show that one more time. He's referring to this picture here. The supernatural being that he's referring to here, this was God. That's why, you know, church, and I want to try to make it clear, we got to have something. Every church got to have something that they stand for. Every church got to have something that they believe in. You know, your faith has got to be rested on something. And what we, you know, what we're standing on here is that, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, a lot of churches won't teach this, won't preach this, won't even give ear to it. But we can see God vindicated, and that's why we believe, you know, if we look at the scripture, God promised that he was going to send a prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We believe Brother Branham was that prophet. See, we believe that. And like I say, if the Bible actually promised a prophet, if it wasn't Brother Branham, then somebody please show me who the prophet is that God said he was going to send. Because we got to find that prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We must. Jesus, I mean, it's wrote right there in Malachi chapter 4. But here, this is a picture they just talked about. He was standing there in Houston, amen, the Houston Coliseum. And this was after, I believe, somebody was criticizing his ministry. And there he was. They began to take pictures, And when they caught the picture, they went through and developed it. And they found that this supernatural being appeared on the picture. There above Brother Branham's head is a supernatural being. That's the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. The same pillar of fire, amen, that that manifests itself in the days of Ezekiel is the same pillar of fire that showed up in Brother Branham's ministry. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, that pillar of fire is not dead. It's still alive. But this pillar of fire is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you go back to the book of Acts, amen, you will see that when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he began to, you know, talk to this light, this great light. Paul began to talk to them. When he talked, he said, "Now, who art thou, Lord?" The light spoke back to Paul and said, "I am Jesus." That's how we know that this is Christ, because the Bible identifies it as being Christ. Brother Branham just told us that he was there. Amen. And while he was there, this disappeared. Amen. This is an appearing of the Lord Jesus. This light appeared, and they caught it on camera while he was preaching. Not that we worship Brother Branham, but I want to hear what he got to say. If God wants to take a picture with a man like this, I need to hear what this man has got to say. You can take that down. Let's keep going. I want to read a couple other. Let me read you a couple scriptures about the appearing. Amen. Turn with me. Let's just start all the way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. We have to be able to love his appearing. We have to be able to catch his appearing. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Amen. God has always appeared at different times to his people, and we got to be able to catch it by revelation as to what's going on. Look at this. Amen. In Exodus chapter 3. Starting at verse 1, look at this. It says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Amen. I could just work with these types all over. I mean, because, you know, here he's watching over a flock, watching over sheep, you know. Amen. God's prophet was watching over sheep. The pastor today is still watching over sheep. We got to keep them in the right pasture. Oh, my. So look, and look at what verse 2 says. "And the angel of the Lord did what?
Appeared
unto him in a flame of fire." Huh? "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And we could just keep reading that. But I want to show you that the angel Lord appeared to Moses. Amen. That's that. Way back here in the book of Exodus, we got the angel Lord appearing. And what I just showed you, a picture of Brother Branham, that angel Lord is still appearing. Amen. As of 40, 50 years ago, it's still appearing. We got to catch him in his appearing. Brother, if we can love the story of Moses, we got to love the story of Brother Branham too. Come on, somebody. Amen. We can preach Moses. We got to be able to preach Brother Branham too, because it's the same God appearing.
Yes.
Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me just keep going. Judges. Give me Judges chapter 6. Amen. Judges chapter 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Judges chapter 6. We got to love his appearing. Thank you, Lord. All right, look at this. Judges chapter 6. And I'm starting at verse 11. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says this: "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Man, he's hiding his food. "And the angel of the Lord," here it goes again, "the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, we got to catch this, because anytime we see the angel of the Lord, it actually is representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And look, it says verse 13, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Look at how Gideon addresses this angel of the Lord. He said, he calls the angel of the Lord, my Lord. Now, we've seen this before. All right? Because in the days of Abraham, when he had three angels show up, God and two angels show up, amen, to his door, Abraham called my Lord. He said he called him my Lord, not my lords. Lot called them, the two angels that showed up, my lords. He had the wrong revelation. See, amen. But Abraham had the right revelation. It was God in human flesh coming down to visit Abraham with two angels. We had the same exact thing happen today. God in human flesh, amen, was dwelling in his prophet, Brother Branham, but he also used two mighty ministries today, Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. Hallelujah. Went to the church nominal, but church spiritual got one visitation, amen, from God in human flesh. Oh, my God. We got to be able to catch the appearing. We got to catch the appearing. Amen. Not that we worship that man, but we got to recognize God in the man. See, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if the man is following Christ, I want to follow that man. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody, y'all just following a man. Yeah, y'all following. If you saying what Moses says, you following a man. If you saying what Paul says, you're following a man. If you saying what any man in this Bible wrote and got it, it was written by man but inspired by God. And if you saying anything that anybody in the Bible wrote, any man here wrote, you're following a man. Not just a man, but a dead man. You're following a dead man. Yes, you are. But it's so good to be able to kind of recognize his appearing in Moses. It was God in Moses. His appearing in Joseph, in the days of Joseph. That was God in Joseph. His appearing in Adam, when Adam reached out and pulled Eve in. That was the appearing of Christ in Adam. Because when we were forsaken, just put away from God, he could have killed us right there. But yet Jesus died for us. While we were yet sinners, he died. See, I mean, so many people, you can go back in the scripture and you see it was God in them, God in them, God in them. I'm going to try to show you maybe a couple other scriptures, but God was in Isaiah. Isaiah had to walk naked before the people one time. It was God in him. Come on. Isaiah walking naked before the people. How can God be in that? Well, Jesus was stripped naked before the people when he died.
Amen.
Huh? God was Ezekiel one time laying on his side, and I'm going to try to get to some of these quotes. He had to lay on his side for a certain amount of days, and then he had to turn and lay on the other side for, like 40 days. And the first time, 390 days, he was laying on both sides. God was in that. So, I mean, Ezekiel was a sign to the people. God caused those prophets to go through certain things in their lives. They were a sign to the people. Those prophets were a sign to the people. God had a prophet in our day because that prophet was a sign to the people. Oh, y'all just stay with me. Y'all just stay with me. We just want to work with this. We're talking about the appearing of the Lord. And if y'all don't mind, I'm just going to teach it this morning. I can't really preach it the way I want to, so I'm going to just teach it. Amen. Hallelujah. I love his appearing. I love the way he appeared in Moses. I love the way he appeared in Joseph. I love the way he appeared in David. I love the way he appeared in all these great men of the Bible, but I also love the way he appeared today.
Amen.
Oh, glory, glory. Can I go back to Judges 6? Let me catch this. Judges 6. And which verse was I at? 12, 13? Okay. It says, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, I told you, notice how Gideon's speaking back, O my Lord. This is the Lord speaking to Gideon, the God in flesh. Amen. See, if you can catch God in flesh back then, and you can catch God in flesh in his prophet, then you can also catch God in flesh in you.
Amen.
Oh, stop. You got to stop this. Stop this. This is foolish talking. How could God use me? How could all the things that I did wrong and all of this and all of that, that is foolish talking to God. Don't give God any excuses as to why he can't use you. He's the one that designed you. He made you. He knew everything that you was going to go through, but yet he chose you to manifest himself through. That ain't got nothing to do with you. By grace are ye saved through faith. Oh, my. I'm forgive me for being all over the place. I was at Pinnacle Palms this week, and we went out and we had a wonderful time. Church, I want to thank you for your prayers. We're seeing just the first time we go there, it seemed like people opening up and, I mean, breaking right before us. And, I mean, just there to minister to the hurting, you know. And we were there, and I would just begin to show them how, if you look at every scripture in the Bible, every scripture, all these good stories that we hear, Moses and, you know, the children of Israel at the Red Sea, Daniel in the lion's den, you know, the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. And, you know, you just start naming all these different stories that you've heard about. If you notice, there's one common theme that seems to happen in these stories. Whenever they got to whatever condition they was in, they were in a helpless situation. Helpless and hopeless situation. They were in a state where they could do nothing to help themselves. They had to completely depend on God. See, I mean, and what that goes to show you is that, amen, God always had it in his heart to be a savior. So when you find yourself in a helpless situation, nothing you can do about it, that's an opportunity for God to express himself to you as a savior. That's all he's trying to do, express himself as savior to do. And what a savior is a person that gives you a rescue. Because you got to realize, man, I am lost. I'm out here, man, I can't help myself. If God don't open up this Red Sea, boy, these Egyptians are going to get us. If God don't shut these mouths, the mouth of these lions, they're going to get me tonight. If God don't quench the fire in this furnace, this fire is going to take me out of here. If God don't change my situation, I don't know what's going to happen to me. So God put you there so you can totally depend on him. Doctor can't help you. Mama can't help you. Daddy can't help you. Psychiatrist cannot help you. But God can help you. God is the only one that can help you. I say it's like being at a ship out on the sea. This great ocean. Man, no land, nowhere. I'm out here and I'm shipwrecked. Lord, I need somebody to come by and save me. I need a rescue. And you know what God did? He loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son. Sent his only begotten son that I might have a rescue. I need to be rescued from myself. I need to be rescued from other people. I need a rescue. And the only person that could rescue me is the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, you're telling me, you out there, amen, in this vast ocean, because you're in an ocean of sin, right? This vast ocean, you just lost. You can't help yourself. You can't get back to shore. You're trying, but you just can't get back. And here, somebody comes to give you a rescue, and you're going to turn them down? Oh, you must not be in a desperate situation. But when you realize how desperate you are, the first person come along. And let me tell you, the only person that could come along was the Lord Jesus. I'm going to accept the rescue, and then for the rest of my life, I'm going to thank him. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. Amen. Judges 6, let me keep going. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Look at this. You got to catch this. This is why I said when you talk about the angel of the Lord coming to visit somebody, you have to recognize the angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus. See, and look at what it says here. Brother Branham brought this out to us. Verse 14 says, and the Lord looked upon him. Capital L-O-R-D. First we read it was the angel Lord, but look, as the story goes on, it says, and the Lord looked upon him. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Amen. Have not I sent thee? It was the Lord appearing to Gideon. We have to catch his appearing. Let's go on to another verse in Judges 13, chapter, verse 2. Let's catch something there. It was the Lord appearing. I'm just going through all these appearings of the Lord. The appearing. Those that love his appearing. You must catch his appearing. You must catch that. Judges 13, the second verse says, and there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. and an angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. While I was over in Africa, this pastor that spoke at one of the meetings, and, you know, there was a testimony went forth, and somebody was saying that they wanted prayer because they couldn't have children. And so this man, he heard the testimony say, "That's a lie. The devil's a liar. They can't have kids." I said, "Okay." He said, "I'm a witness. They can have kids." I said, "Okay, what?" It's a brother. The brother's testimony. Yeah, this brother got a powerful testimony. He said, "Brother, I was married for 36 years. We adopted a child and everything. And after 36 years, God blessed my wife with a baby." I know y'all saying amen, but she was 52 years old when she had the baby. 52. And some of y'all say, "Oh, no, Lord, don't." Not at 52, Lord. But when you believe in God for a child, don't matter when God answers, as long as he answers. See, Sarah had one at 90. Why you can't have one at 52 if that was the will of the Lord? And they say, "You know, my wife had her first baby at 52 years old after 36 years of marriage." I got a picture of the man. 36 years of marriage. He's saying, "The reason my wife is not here at the meeting right now, because she's pregnant with the second child right now." Somebody say, God fulfilled his word. God fulfilled his promise. And if God gave her that baby, he's going to give her the strength to take care of that baby. And we might hear some years down the road, if the Lord tarry, how that child raised up to be some mighty person of God. And it had to come through that union. See, sometimes we just don't yield ourselves to let God work through us. We put limits on God. "God, you can only use me at this time of my life." Who are you? Does your whole life belong to God? I'm talking about all of it. Does it belong to God? Or just part of it belong to God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I said, well, that's a mighty testimony. So anybody you hear that might be going through that battle, you just begin to encourage them. God can do it. Keep on going. Let's keep going. Verse 3 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and hearest not, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, nor eat not any unclean thing." Now, Samson's parents were given, amen, this responsibility to raise his child, and he couldn't drink, he couldn't smoke, he couldn't defile his body in any way. I wonder if we've heard that before. Because Brother Branham said he heard a voice in a tree. And that voice told him, say, don't eat, don't smoke, don't drink, don't defile your body, don't get mixed up with women. Don't you do that. Don't defile your body in any way, because I got a work for you to do. At a young child, at the age of a young child, he heard that voice. I wonder if that was a scriptural voice. If we kept on going in that chapter, we'll see let's get down a little bit in this in that same chapter. I wanna just show you something. Which I was at chapter 13. Let me just catch a couple more. I don't want to read the whole chapter, but it'd be something for you to go back and read. Okay. Let's skip down to verse 15. It says this: "And Manoah," this is Samson's father, "said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. The angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" It was a secret then, but it's been revealed now. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing it is secret. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. They got to catch him in his appearing. Matthew 1. Keep on coming with me. I just want to show these different scriptures where our Lord appeared. And if we miss him in his appearing, we miss a lot. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 1, verse 19. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Look at this. Amen. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Hallelujah. I like this because God can do the same thing today to you. Amen. He can visit you in a dream to give you instruction about what you're supposed to do. Just wait on God. Amen. Take things before the Lord in prayer. Wait on him. He can appear, amen, through a dream. He can appear through somebody else might say to you. He can appear through you listening to a tape. God has many ways, many forms of just appearing. You got to be able to catch him in his appearance. Sometimes he comes in a still small voice. But you got to recognize that's God appearing. That's God speaking. That's God moving. That's God. Sometimes it's just a cloud in the sky the size of a man's hand. That's a pretty small thing in the sky, but yet that's God moving. You got to be able to catch this. If you're not sensitive to these things, you'll be missing God every day of your life. You'll be praying, well, God, would you do this for me? He'll appear, and then you just completely missed it. Church, you got to be able to catch these little things in the scripture. Otherwise, we'll miss God. Miss him by a million miles. See? Amen. Look at this. Amen. It says, but while he thought these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I want to catch that. Four different places in the scripture where we see the appearing of the Lord. Let me just kind of read to you a couple of the things here today. Amen. And there's something that I want to get into here. God, we love your appearing. Let me I'm missing something here. Hold on one second. Something I want to read to you, and I want to make sure I don't miss it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, the Maniac of Gadara, the quote from the Maniac of Gadara. Look at this, what Brother Branham says. It says, here some time ago, you all noticed they had the picture. It said it was taken by someone of Jesus holding his arms out and two planes coming over. You've seen that in the paper, but the man admitted it. He painted the picture. Now, I'm saying that because, you know, we got the picture of the pillar of fire being above Brother Branham's head. You know how many people are going to try to falsify that and do all kind of other things? We're not looking at that. We're looking at the original. Amen. Look, before you can make a copy, you got to have an original. Amen. It's people that tell, when you hear people going through prayer lines and they're revealing all these things as to what's going on. What we saw Friday night Brother Branham sit here and as he's revealing what's this lady coming through the prayer lines, she says, sister, you're not from here. You're from such and such a place, and your name is this, and your name is that. And your daughter, you got a daughter. I see your daughter coming before me. So and she's been communicating with you. And your daughter's not from here. She lives in Indiana. And you was getting ready to go to Indiana, but I see a letter that got passed from Indiana to come to you, and it's telling you, stay where you at, because Brother Branham's coming to where you at. Don't go to Indiana. Just stay where you at. How could a prophet pick up on the letter what's been written, amen, and tell this lady what's going on? Only God could do that. Amen. The man himself could not do that. God had to do that through that man. Amen. See, You know, I mean, so, I mean, we're looking at things like this, but then you go and you look at these television ministries and everybody got these things in their ears and people revealing what's going on behind the curtain, and they think they got some gift of discernment. We're not talking about that. We don't have many people falsify this gift, but we're looking at the vindicated prophet that God has already vindicated. We ain't got to worry about nobody else. God has already vindicated, so stay with what he says. That's what we're here to do. Praise God. Look at this. Here these people trying to, you know, this man got this beautiful little picture with Jesus and his hands hanging on two planes going by, like Jesus protecting the planes. Yes, we believe that. We believe that. But trying to make something supernatural out of it. Oh, God. I'm going to share something else with you real quick. God gave us you can take that down for me, sister. God gave us a sign that he will not destroy the earth anymore with rain. And every time we see a rainbow, that's a sign that God, a covenant that God made with man, that is not going to destroy the earth anymore with rain. While I was over in Africa, there's one brother that's a pilot. He was saying how he gets up sometimes and he's flying. And he said, man, sometime, boy, it gets scary up there. You know, I mean, he said many accidents that happen because of the weather. You know, when you're in that plane, because of the weather, he says, but, you know, he says, there's times when I'm seeing and I can't see nothing. I don't know where I'm at. He said, that's where I'm just trusting my instrumentation. Oh, I could preach that. I could preach that. I should have saved that one. I should have saved it. I don't know. But I'm here now, so I might as well. He says, so I can't see because the clouds got me covered. I can't see, but I'm trusting my instrumentation. The instrumentation says there's another plane this far away, there's another plane that far away, so you can just stay straight on the path. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't see your way through some trials. But here go your instrumentation. You got to trust your instrumentation. He says, I'm sitting, I'm watching instrumentation, and all of a sudden out of the corner of my eye, I see a rainbow. When I see that rainbow and I look at my instrumentation, and then I call to the headquarters or to the towers, and I say, look, I'm getting ready to divert my course just by a little bit. I just got to divert my course a little bit, and I'm going to turn this degrees. And say, the reason I'm turning, they don't know why I'm turning. But he say, I got traffic. I got bad weather up here. I got to divert and go in this direction just for a few minutes, and then I get back on track. He gets his authority. Go ahead and make your turn. And as he makes his turn, what he's doing is taking the airplane and directing it towards the rainbow. Brother, he just began to head towards that rainbow. And when he gets to the rainbow, all he does is just go through the rainbow. And on the other side of the rainbow, peace and quiet and stillness. The rainbow today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just go through Christ and you'll get to the peace. And the quietness that you need, the stillness, just go through Christ. He said, I did it many a times. So the one time he had a guy that he was training, and he's sitting he's the co-pilot. And he told that guy, said, oh, I don't know, who, kind of rocky here, whoo. And so the fellow's a little scared. He said, look, man, just turn it and go that way. He said, go that way? Are you sure to go that way? Just trust me, go that way. Turn it. He said, man, I don't know about that. Just turn it and go that way. And say, that pilot took the plane and went right through the rainbow and said, all the peace and stillness and quietness. He said, how you knew to come this way? How did you know? He said, I was afraid of the rainbow. I was scared of the rainbow. How did you know to go this way? He says, because God made a promise. God made a promise in his word. God made a promise that he was not going to destroy with water anymore. So I can trust God's word and I can turn towards that rain. I should have saved that when I preach it later on. I just want you to catch this. Look at this. He says, you see, and he admitted it. It was in the Reader's Digest that it wasn't so. But this picture here, not because, dear Christian, it's not me. I like this. I just happen to be standing there. That was all. It's not Brother Branham. He just happened to be standing there. That was all. But that is the picture of a supernatural being. And to my opinion, if you notice, it's a pillar of fire
go back in my books, but even years before this was testified, look back there at the time, after time, it appeared. Look in the little book, the first one written called Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever, how the big newspapers of Louisville, Kentucky, and all, a mystic light appears, see, appearing. A mystic light appears over a local Baptist minister while baptizing. When he stood down there and told me right there before at least 10,000 people that this thing was coming to pass, said your ministry would be as John the Baptist was sent forth as a forerunner of the first coming of Christ. Your ministry would be the bringing forth of the second coming of Christ. See, he appeared. And go back to that picture again, if you can, just to show again. I just want the church to see this is the Lord Jesus appearing. And we want to catch him in his appearing. In his appearing. That's all I'm trying to drive home. It's not Brother Branham, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ in his appearing through his prophet trying to get something to us. This is a picture. This is not fake. You ain't got to go back and have a correction made in Reader's Digest about this being fake. This is the Lord Jesus Christ being caught on camera in his appearing. Above his prophet, not under his prophet, but above his prophet. This is all about Christ. It's all about Christ. Amen. God shows up like that and takes a picture with somebody, I think we better listen to what he's got to say. And like he said, it's not him. He just happened to be standing there. And when the picture was taken, that's what came out. So thank God for it. We got a vindicated, true message that God has sent us in this hour. Okay. Let me just go on. I got one other thing that I want to just try to catch here. I won't hold you too long today. I just love the Lord. I just love the Lord. Early spiritual experiences is where I want to read from. Early spiritual experiences. Brother Branham says this. You love him? What am I trying to say now? Jesus is here with us. I've kept you longer than I should. Yes, way longer. I'm sorry. Forgive me, just enthused, but that you might understand that the same God, Hannah believes that the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel was the angel of the covenant. Let's see your hand. That was our Lord Jesus. Is that right? It was Christ, the anointed. Well, look, he appeared to Moses, but it wasn't because he was with Moses. He's with the whole church. Is that right? Could it be possible that this same pillar of fire that we see taken here now, could that be the angel of the covenant? Could it be our Lord Jesus Christ? Could the angel of the Lord who appeared to Paul out there, who told Peter on the housetop all these things, like he did in the days of Agabus and so forth, isn't that the very analysis, the very symptoms, the very same thing that he did in the days in the New Testament? Then look, Christians, Holy Ghost-filled people, look this way. Then the sign of the Old Testament, Jehovah God, the pillar of fire, is with us. And the same God that was with the apostles, our Lord Jesus Christ, is with us undisputably through science, through the world, through the Christians, through the church, through everything is perfectly vindicated. It's the same today. The both New and Old Testament, God of the Old Testament, was Jesus of the new. See, Jehovah the old was Jesus of the new. And the Holy Spirit of today. You know that? Don't you believe that? To blaspheme the Holy Ghost today is just the same penalty or worse than blaspheming Jesus Christ or God the Father. Do you believe that? Church, we better catch this, because when we start rejecting it, we get on dangerous grounds. I think somebody say, I might not understand everything, but I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to talk against it, because I might not have ever heard these things before, but I'm not going to talk against it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. If I don't know, I'm just not going to say anything. I'll wait till God reveals himself to me. But church, we got promises laid up for us. Amen. Those that love us appear, and we're going to receive a crown of righteousness. But you got to catch him in his appearing. I mean, when I look at scripture like that, I look at that pretty deeply. If people can't catch him in his appearing, how are they going to be able to catch him in his coming? They're going to miss it. They're going to really miss it. But if we don't see how God is moving in this day, we're going to miss some things, church. That's why it's very important that we catch this. I want to just throw one other thing out there, and I'm going to let it go. as I'm going to just give you a testimony here. Brother Branham made a comment about how God uses his prophets. And, you know, he uses them as a sign. And it says also the torture that some of the prophets have to go through. And I just want to say this. Anybody that think they got a gift, and actually, let me just put it this way. Cause some people don't understand this. They feel like they're confused as to whether they have a gift of prophecy or if they were born a prophet. Right? A gift of prophecy, you might come up to me, you might prophesy something, and it may come to pass. But then God might not use you ever again to prophesy again. That's just a gift. But a person that's born a prophet, every time they speak, is thus saith the Lord. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And there are some people, because they see what God, how God used Brother Branham, they long for that same gift. You better be careful as to what you're asking God for. And let me tell you something. If you weren't born with it, amen, you can't go ask God to give it to you. Because these prophets did not ask God for this. God just gave it. They were just born with this. Everybody in here was born with some type of gift. If you're born with a gift to sing, you never ask God to... God, give me, help me to sing, Lord. You never asked God for that. All you did was just wake up, you heard music, and you start singing. That's the same thing with a prophet. He's sitting there, his conscious and subconscious, just like that. He just sees vision. He can't help. That's the way that he's made. God made him that way. But we got people today seeking this type of anointing. And I said, you better be careful, because a prophet goes through great torture. A prophet goes through great torture. I mean, it looked glorious, but on the backside, he's going through a lot more than what people actually know what's going on. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's with any gift in the body. Amen. But here, you know, he was talking about how, you know, signs are overlooked. You can go back and look at it. I'm not going to quote from it right now, but true signs overlooked is a message that I'm kind of referring to. It's talking about how they go through great torture. And say how Ezekiel had to lay on his side one time for 390 days and then lay on the other side for 40 days. He had Isaiah one time. God told him to walk through the streets naked. It was all for a sign for the people. See? And, you know, just great torture that they had to endure for the sake of the people. I think I do. I want you to know why they have to do that. Let me just read this. Give me true sign overlook, a true sign that's overlooked. Give me paragraph 40. Because there's a reason why they go through torture that people don't realize why. Amen. Catch this. It says, but the torture that the man had to go through, why would that be necessary? Many has wondered, why would such a thing be necessary for a man to do? It's because that people won't read the word and they won't pray. What? I want you to see that. Brother Branham said, the reason that these prophets have to go through these things is because the people won't read the word and they won't pray. So God is sovereign and he sends his prophet to be a sign. The people won't read. They don't care to read. Church, that's why God has to use the prophets as a sign. That's why God had to send us a prophet, because the people won't read the word of God and they won't pray over what they're reading. So God can reveal it. So God got to send us a prophet. God has to send a prophet as a sign to the people, because they won't get in contact with God for themselves. The problem also with that is that because they have a prophet, they just go to the prophet with everything and they never go to God. Oh, I might as well tell the truth. I mean, the people's at Brother Branham's house all the time, in and out of this house. Oh, my goodness. His wife says she was 37 years old and had half full of just gray hair, head full of gray hair. Because people are in the house all the time. Kids are screaming. These two kids won't get up. They couldn't just have a normal life. Couldn't have it. See? They go through great things. Look at this. Look at what he says. He says, it's because that people won't read the word and they won't pray. So God is sovereign and he sends his prophet to be a sign. The people won't read. They don't care to read and they won't pray because they got other things to do. They can't take time to pray. And the Bible is boresome to them. Hasn't got enough action for these modern days or any day. You know, I believe what Paul said, you're epistles of God, read of all men. God uses people for signs, to show his sign. And many times that sign, and every time mostly, unless it's with the elected people, that sign is overlooked and criticized, made fun of, cast out and considered. And there was a man one time, had a little shop, and He had a sign up there on the shop, but this little boy come by, saw the little shop, and boy walked in and saw a man outside the shop on the ground. So he looked at the man on the ground, and he walked inside the shop. He said, "Hey, sir," went inside and said, "Hey, sir, your sign is down." I said, "What you mean my sign is down?" He said, "No, it's up there, son." He said, no, your sign is down." So he said, walked outside, and he said, looked up, you know, at the sign. He said, "Son, my sign is up. I see it right there." He said, no, right down here. That man is your sign. That man is down on the ground. Your sign is down. And say, what that man, him stumbling out of that place, drunk as I don't know what, that was a sign of what was going on inside that place. I hope when we leave here today that our signs will be up and not down. Because your life reflects what goes on inside of this place. Brother Branham was talking last night, and me and Brother Donnie and Sister Lori and I just fellowshipping a little bit there together, and this story came back to me. God's prophet being assigned to the people, having to go through so much torture. There was a time, I mean, we can go back to, and I could show it to you in Ezekiel. I'll just tell you a couple of scriptures that you can read. I don't have time to go through it all right now, but a couple of scriptures that you can read to go back and prove, to verify what I'm saying here to you. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Those prophets were signs. They had to go through some things, some torturous things. And Brother Branham, being a prophet, also had to go through a little torture one time for the sake of the people. What had happened, God had given Brother Branham, there's three ways that God speaks to his people. One way is, amen, through hope. I'm sorry. I don't want to call it, say, three ways that he speaks to his people. Three ways that he deals with his people. Three elements that people operate in, Brother Branham called it. And said these three elements that people live in. One is the element of hope. One is the element of faith. And one is the element of vision. And when we hope, it's like, you know what? I heard God did this for so-and-so. And if God could do it for them, I just hope and I believe that God will do the same thing for you. So let's believe God together. See, they hope, right? And so that's the element that people live in. Another one is faith. Faith is God reveals something to you. Thus, I mean, you maybe you read in scripture that God gonna do something for you no matter what. Nobody say you holding on to what God said. It happened to Sister Wesco. She was there, and I think it was her mom. The doctor said she was gonna die. But God revealed to Sister Wesco, no, your mom ain't going to die right now. She stood toe-to-toe with the doctor, saying, my mom is not going to die right now. I don't care what it looked like. God has told me that my mom is not going to die. She stood on that word. God raised the mom up off that sick bed. She lived for 13 more years before she died because she had a revelation in her heart, not what the doctor said, but God spoke to her and said, no, it's not going to happen right now. See, God give you that, you walk in that faith. And the last thing that God deals with us is with vision. Brother Branham had a vision one time, and in that vision, saw this young man. He said he was in this real rocky area, rocks all over the place, and say saw a young man that was somehow in a little accident, had his hair cut a certain way, and when he had that hair cut a certain way, he said, you know, the angel Lord kind of walked him over there and told him to pray for the boy in a certain way, and that boy was going to rise from the dead. So Brother Branham wrote out the vision, then he went and started proclaiming it to everybody. So God showed me this vision, and, you know, thus saith the Lord, some boy going to be raised from the dead. He just showed me a rocky area, didn't tell me where it was in the world. I just saw rocks all over the place, and I know, you know, it's going to happen. Thus saith the Lord. So after God showed him the vision, he got invited here to Miami, Florida. So Brother Branham came to Miami, and he began to share the vision to the people. So God showed me this vision, a little rocky area, and this little boy gonna be laid out, and he gonna be raised from the dead, and you know, and I mean, God gonna get glory out of this. Well, you know, while he was here in Miami having a meeting, while he was there, this little boy drowned. And when the little boy drowned, some of the saints heard the testimony, or heard the, you know, the vision, and they say, well, let's take that boy to the church. And we're going to take him. Maybe this is the little boy Brother Branham was talking about. Brother Branham went and looked at the little boy and said, I'll take a look at him. Certainly. He looked around. Ain't no rocks in Miami. That's not no rocky air. It's not no, ain't no mountains or nothing in Miami. That's flat land. So real quick, this is not the boy that was in the vision. I don't mind praying for him, but I can't tell you that this is the boy, because the rest of this scene is not right. And the other thing is, they didn't bring the boy to me. See? I mean, people got to catch every element of this vision. See? You got to catch it. See? You know, so, I mean, as he's working through this, you know, he say, no, that's not it. He say, I pray, but, you know, God didn't tell me that this boy going to raise again, and the boy didn't rise again. The boy went on. So he gave comfort to the family, and that was it, you know. And everybody want everybody to rise again, but that's not the way it's going to be. We got to be able to accept the will of the Lord for some things. We have to be able to do that. Even Jesus died. Even Jesus. Amen? He did rise again, and we got to promise that with him we'll rise. But, you know, we got to be able to accept the will of God for some situations. Amen. We're not going to live on this earth forever. I'm almost there. So Brother Branham went on for a couple years, and this boy never showed up. And one day he finds himself over in Finland. While he's there in Finland, he begins to have some meetings. And oh, how God was just moving in those meetings. Powerful things begin to happen. Many people heal from serious situations. God was just doing great works there. And as they were leaving the meeting one day, they were going up over the hill. And this big accident had taken place and traffic all over the place. So he got out the car and he looked down and he said he looked at the little boy and he's, you know, there in the accident, two boys was hit and one boy there. And he said, "My, I feel so sorry. These parents got to come and see their child like this." He just began to pray for the parents and, "Lord, have mercy on these parents." And he's praying for them and he's turning to walk away. And, you know, he's just moving on out to go back, get in the car. He felt a hand on his shoulder. Turn around, go back. "Hey, what do you mean go back?" I mean, he felt that hand on his shoulder. "Go back over there and look at that again." Went and started looking at the scene, saying, "Man, I don't know what this is, but I just feel led to stay here and, you know, just stay there for a little bit." And then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord said, "This is what I showed you 2 years ago." Sometimes visions, when God gives them to you, they might not happen immediately. But if you wait on the Lord, that vision going to come to pass. You got to wait on the Lord. So he stood there and he said, "Lord, I don't know." He said, this what I showed you. He said, "Brother Moore, get your Bible. Read to me after flighting for your Bible. I told y'all to write that vision down. Is this the scene? Is this everything that we said it was going to be?" They looked at the flyleaf of the Bible and said, "Oh, yeah, everything that you said in that vision, all the rocks are in the place, everything." Say, "Oh, my, thus saith the Lord, this boy going to rise again." The vision say this boy going to rise again. So Brother Branham positioned himself. And when he positioned himself the right way, he prayed for that boy. Immediately, that boy jumped up on his feet, began to act like nothing ever even happened to him. Right there on the spot, that boy was raised from the dead. Didn't have to go spend one second in the hospital. God raised that boy up by a vision. Amen. Church, it was powerful. But there was a second boy that God did not show the prophet in the vision. And that second boy was laying and going. He was on his way to the hospital, and he was there for a couple days. And the parents came, and they said, hey, you raised that boy up. You got to come raise our boy up. He said, "Look, I can't do that. God got to show you a vision. God showed me a vision 2 years ago about that other boy. I didn't see nothing about you." I said, "Well, have God show you a vision about my boy." He said, "I wish I could, but it just don't work that way. It's just like telling, if I told you to dream me a dream, I can't make you dream me a dream. God got to do these things." She said, "It's our boy. We love our boy just like those parents love their boy." Brother Branham said, "Look, are y'all Christians?" "Well, no, we're not Christians." Say, "Look, if God take that boy home right now, he's going home to be with the Lord." Saying, "And if you die a Christian, you'll never see that boy again. But if you want to see him again, why don't you give your heart to the Lord right now?" So his parents say, "Realize, you know what? If God do take him, we want to see him again. So let's become Christians." Say, "If you become a Christian, maybe God will give you a favor." Oh, my God. I want to just drop that off. But sometimes people looking for favor, but they don't want to serve God with nothing they got. How are you going to ask God for favor? You won't serve him. That's right. Amen. What you going to do if you get healed? I heard Sister Tina say that, Sister Carter say, "If God was to touch my body and give me legs to walk on this earth and I go out in the world, I'd rather just stay on these crutches. I'd rather stay in this wheelchair if that's the way I'm going to live. I want to live for God." He said, "Y'all become Christians, maybe God will give you favor." they accepted that challenge and they became Christians right then. In church, I'm almost there. I'm coming home. But what happened after they accepted, you know, the Lord? They went back home and they began to call every few minutes. Every few minutes. Has the Lord said anything about our little boy? Has the Lord said anything about our boy? And as they were going through the situation, I mean, just waiting on the get a word from the Lord. Has the Lord said anything? Has the Lord spoken about our little boy? Brother Ram said, "No, I ain't got nothing from the Lord, nothing." But he sat there in his hotel room. His brother had walked up to him, and he was him and his brother just having common conversation. They were saying, "You know, America's been blessed." They was just talking about candy. The candy here in America, we got sugar that we can put in. That candy tastes so good. He said, "But you go to Canada and you taste their candy, it's the worst candy you ever taste in your life." Say, "I'm not trying to make the Canadians feel bad, but it's the worst candy you ever taste." So his brother said, "You know what? That candy in Canada ain't got nothing on the candy in Finland." He said, "This candy in Finland, real bad. Here go two pieces for you. Try it out." He said, "Man, I'm not going to eat that. Put it to the side." But while he was in his room that night, I told you prophets go through torture. While he was in the room that night, God visited him. The angel of the Lord came into the room and say, and walked in and had a little glass in his hand and had two flowers in the glass. And one flower, you know, they was both leaning. And they said, what's that your brother gave you?" The angel of the Lord started talking to Brother Branham and said, "What's that?" He said, "You got to catch his appearing. You got to catch his appearing." Brother Branham knew that this was the Lord appearing to him. It wasn't just an angel with some man with a glass. This was the angel of the Lord. It was for a sign. Those two flowers in the glass represented something. It was a sign. Two flowers, both of them drooped over. He said, "What's that your brother gave you?" He said, "Candy." He said, "Eat it." He ate one piece. He said, "Oh, boy, that candy pretty good. My brother's wrong." When he ate the candy, swallowed it, one of the flowers popped up straight, just like that. But the other flower was drooping. The angel said, "You know what that candy is?" And said, "You know what that flower represents? Them two boys." One of the boys just popped right back up on his feet. He's healed. But the other boy's dying. He said, "If you want to see that other boy heal, you got to eat the other candy." Prophet have to go through torture. Brother Branham saw that flower just tilting down. And he put the candy in his mouth. He said, "Oh my, this candy's so bitter. Oh, the worst tasting thing in his life that he ever had." And it was so bad that he was getting ready to take the candy out of his mouth and throw it away. And the angel said, "If you don't eat it, that boy gonna die. You don't eat it, that boy gonna die." Oh, hallelujah. If you don't eat this message, some of your family members ain't gonna make it. If you don't stay with this word, some people gonna miss it because of that. I know it get bitter to you sometimes, and some of the things you don't want to go through, some of the trials, but you better stay with this word. Catch God in his appearing. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He said, "Let me put it back in." And he chewed, and he finally got that. He swallowed it. And he said, "Oh, it was the worst tasting thing he ever had in his life." But after he swallowed it, that flower popped up on the other side. When it popped up, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, that boy going to be healed." And I want you to. There's something. Can I just read this one part to you? I want you to catch this. And I'm going to let you go. I just want to read this one part. If you would just get for me the second miracle. And I mean, what happened? And go to paragraph 50 in the second miracle. Actually, go to paragraph 51. And then I'm going to have you scroll up just a little bit. When Brother Branham ate that candy, that little boy was in the hospital. he told his interpreter, said, "Call the parents. Let them know right now, thus saith the Lord, their boy's going to be healed." And they went and they called, and they couldn't reach the parents and say the parents had just went to the hospital because the hospital told them, "Come on, your boy only got two more hours to live. Come on to the hospital right now." He said, "I don't care what they say. God said he's going to live." And by the time the interpreter got in contact with those parents, say, "Hey, Brother Branham, say, thus saith the Lord, your boy going to live." Say, "Yeah, I know he going to live because we just saw him make a complete turn. And he's living right now. God had healed that boy. But the prophet had to go through something in order for that boy to get his healing. Come on, if the prophet got to go through some things, you're going to have to go through some things. You're going to have to be able to endure whatever it is that God is sending your way. Endure it because God is going to bring life to somebody else through what you are facing. Look at this. Go start me at paragraph E51 and just scroll up one paragraph. Keep going. Right there. Is that right? Am I? We'll just start there. And they call all that day. And he said, this one stood up like that. And when it stood up, he looked at me, put his arms together. And I looked over here, and here was that light that you see back there in the picture. See, I'm talking about the pillar of fire that we saw in the picture. I showed it to you all. It was the light. That light became visible to the prophet. All right? Here was that light that you see back there in the picture going like that. And the angel settled down, and the light settled down over the angel. Look at this. He says the angel went into the light and went out of the room. After he ate that candy, this angel that was talking to him, telling him about the little cup in his hand and two flowers there, after he ate that candy, he said the angel, the light came over the angel, and the angel went up into the light. The light settled down over the angel. The angel went up into the light and went out of the room. Now, the reason I brought that, because I read to you earlier that when Samson's parents were there talking to the angel of the Lord, they built an altar, and in the fire, the angel got right into the fire and went up. Oh, hallelujah. Same thing happened here in Finland with Brother Branham. Oh, God, this message that we're following is vindicated. Church, don't let nobody take this from you. If you have been a little slack in your belief and your following and in the way that you just your attention to the details, I want to call you back to that this morning. I want to call you back to that. I'm trying to make sure that people catch his appearing. This is the Lord Jesus Christ appearing in the form of his prophet. That's all. It's the Son of Man ministry, a Son of Man ministry, revealing the Son of Man ministry. It's Christ in his prophet, just like it's Christ in us today. Church, don't miss this. Amen. Don't let anybody take this from you. Don't let your trials take this from you. Amen. It might be bitter. That trial, it may be a little bitter, but you eat it. You swallow it up. You swallow it up. Eat it. Just stay with it, because somebody going to receive life through that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I don't know how else to put it. Mamas, you stay with it, mamas. Your children are depending on you. Daddy, stay with it. Your children are depending on you. You think about it. If you don't hold to this word, what's going to happen to your child? What's going to happen to that child? Grandchildren that will come along, they're depending on you. I don't care how bitter that trial is, you stay with it. Stay with it. Let's pray. God, we love your appearing. We love it, Lord. We see clearly, Lord, how your prophet, amen, has come to us in this day. And it's not just him, but you've identified yourself with him. And God, we've all been blessed with having books and having tapes and having CDs, have all this, but Lord, we don't take it seriously. Help us, God, to take this seriously. We got to catch you in your appearing. We got to see how you're doing things in this hour. If we miss it, we're missing a whole lot. So God, as we just took our time just to try to break this in to the people, the last 2 weeks, as we just begin the new year, Lord, we love your appearing. We want to be ready. If this is the year that you're calling us to come home, we want to be ready. But the only way that we can get ready is by listening to what your prophet told us. He told us rapture and faith lies in the tapes and in the books. If we want to be ready, we're going to have to eat this word. Sometimes it might be bitter, but Lord, we got to eat it. Sometimes it might cause us, Lord, to change the way that we're living, but we got to eat this. It's got to become We got to become one with the word. So I pray, Lord, that you just help each and every heart that has heard the word of God. God, if there's any changes that need to take place in our life, deal with our hearts, God, until every change is made. Lord, don't let us get rest. Don't let us rest. Don't let us settle. Don't let us, oh God, compromise. But let us be ready, Father, for the great catching away. We're living in a day where we can expect it at any time. Oh God, we're trying to bring people closer to Christ. We have to show, Lord, how you use your prophet, how you spoke through your prophet, how you did these things through your prophet, just as you did through Moses and Paul and David and Lord, Ezekiel, Isaiah, just so many, Lord, that you used in times gone by. But, Lord, you've used your prophet as of late, and now you want to use your bride. Help us, God, to yield ourselves, to surrender our lives, to surrender our thoughts, our ideas, to surrender everything to you, that you might get the glory and the honor from us. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. My desire is so that church, we would not miss it. We can come to church week in and week out and absolutely miss what God is doing. Don't let that be your testimony. Amen. We're too close to the truth not to walk in it. Amen. Song says, walk in the light, beautiful light, come where the drops of mercy are bright. Let's just sing a few choruses, just help me. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Oh, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus the light. Jesus the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, oh, we'll walk in beautiful light. Come where dewdrops of mercy shine all around us by day. Oh, Jesus, He, oh, yes, we will walk such a beauty, beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine on by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, light of the world. Oh, one more time we will walk such a beautiful. Come where your mercy are bright. Shine on by day, oh, by night. Everybody say, Jesus, you are the light. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. Oh, we will.
Mercy upright, oh, shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, the light up. Oh, Jesus, the light up. It's Jesus. Oh, Jesus, the light of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. Jesus. My God. Close as we. Oh my God, so wonderful just to hear all the so many different proofs, dear Lord God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have brought this truth to us, and we are so thankful, dear Lord God. Continue blessing our brother, dear Lord Jesus, as you've given him all these great messages to bring to us. We're close to the end, dear Lord God. We know that for sure. We just want to bring and tell all we can about the truth, all our family and friends, and just to stand up for you. You have stood up for us, dear Lord God. Pray now, dear Lord Jesus, as the people go home, that you'll bless them all. Strengthen them, dear Lord God, and bring them back the next time these doors are open. May they just think about what was said today, all of us, dear Lord God. And we just thank you for all that was said in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Ushers will lead you out. Just have a good day. Thank you.